Test, test, test. Okay, I guess we're all set here. All right, testing 1, 2, 3. 3, 2, 1. This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell.
And I'm Rick Moore.
And in today's news, a city councilor in the city of Lynn is going for an open state rep seat in the city.
In Gloucester, the A. Pyatt Andrew Bridge is going to be fully open.
Also in our program, we'll run the interview that we did with Diana Finn, the girls' basketball coach at Revere High School. They're 12-1 on the season this year. They're playing host to a red-hot Danvers team tonight at Revere, but we'll hear from her a little bit later on in our program today. Well, welcome to our program. And also, Rick, we've got the last Republican debate before the Iowa caucuses, which are on Monday night. So finally, folks are going to get to the ballot box, or get to, not to the ballot box in the case of the caucus, but I guess actually there are silent votes in the Republican side of the caucuses in Iowa. But to try to get to the point here, Iowa caucuses are Monday night, and the last debate was last night. And I was checking some things out yesterday, and folks were wondering whether Republicans or those interested in participating on the Republican side would watch the Republican debate one, or watch Trump over on CNN or what other channels had him, or kind of flip back and forth. And I actually found myself thinking that I would flip back and forth, but I ended up watching very little of Trump, very, very little of Trump, maybe only a minute total. And I just focused on the Republican debate. Those were the guys that were there. And again, it was a much different, you know, a little bit different debate than they've had in the past, a little more substantive, I thought, but still, that's what it was, and you know, and Trump was not there.
Well, you know, it did allow me as an undecided voter to get a better handle on things, and I kind of enjoyed it last night. I watched about half an hour. I watched the debate, and it was interesting to see the separation of the candidates. And in my own little world, I was able to separate three of them as I would put moderates, and the other three as extremists, and. I didn't get that opportunity before. A lot of guys got to speak where I hadn't heard them before. So again, as an undecided voter, I thought it was worthwhile watching.
The other thing, too, I watched was at the end, they have a program at the end, and Frank Luntz focus group came in, and they had about 20 different people, undecided voters, I think, that were there. And I think at the end of the day, I think they gave Rubio some thumbs up in his debate performance. And also, I think some of them, and there were mixed feelings as to how this impacts Trump by not showing up. And again, it doesn't seem like anything hurt him. It'll be interesting to see what happens today when the ratings come out. Not that this has anything to do with anything at all. But, you know, Trump, I'm sure, would but this could be the first, excuse me, this could be a little hit to Trump, because you still got to think that the Republican debate is going to draw more people. But if it doesn't, how telling will that be? And the other piece is that, you know, Trump's always been winning in his estimation. And this will be a thing where, you know, I think he, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And in Iowa, this is very important, whether the people of Iowa take him, it's not a snub necessarily, but they could perceive it as a snub, or some might perceive it as a snub by not participating in their last debate before Monday's caucuses.
Well, my thing was, I can't believe he's scared of a girl. I mean, that's just crazy. it's just silly. So anyway, let me tell you about the A. Pyatt Andrew Bridge in Gloucester, Bill. That's the bridge that goes over. It's the bridge on 128 that goes into Gloucester. And there's been work on it for 7 years, over the course of the last 7 years. For many portions of the year, at least one lane has been closed, either north or southbound. And according to a story today in the Gloucester Times by Ray Lamont, it quotes the construction workers as saying, "We are 100% done." So apparently all the lanes will be open on the A. Pyatt Andrew Bridge for the foreseeable future. And I can tell you, as a person who goes onto the island frequently, thank goodness that is finally done. Glad to see it.
In the item today, there's Robert Fennell, the state rep for one of the state reps in the city of Lynn, is stepping down from his seat midterm to take a job with the city. And it's Deputy Director of the Water and Sewer Commission. And Fennell has held that seat for 21 years. And just recently announced, City Council President Dan Cahill has announced his candidacy. for the special election to fill that seat. Here's a quote from Thor Jorgensen, who quoted Cahill yesterday. Having served the residents of Lynn for the past 12 years as a school committee member, councilor at large, and now as council president, I can continue my service as your next state representative. And that's from Cahill on his Facebook page, apparently. So we have another special election coming up here on the North Shore. They've got that seat over in Peabody as well, that they're having a special election. And so we'll keep folks posted on that. And so right now, I guess there's one candidate that is running for that seat. And Dan Cahill has proven that he's a vote getter in the city of Lynn, as he's been. He's already a councilor at large in the city account in the city council of Lynn.
And speaking of school committee, Paul Layton has an article in the Times and the Salem News about the Essex Tech School Committee. And apparently, due to the fact that the former superintendent has allegedly overspent and overstepped his bounds, Paul did a follow-up on the school committee's makeup. And apparently, there are supposed to be 20 school committee members from the 17 communities that are involved in Essex Tech. And never, I guess, in the 5 years of this school committee makeup, have they had a full school committee, or have all 20 members shown up for a school committee meeting? And I guess that's a little concerning considering the allegations against the former superintendent. And up in Essexville, there'll be a special town meeting on Monday at 7:30 at the Essex Elementary School, where voters will be asked to pay for repairs to the water system and to town hall. And apparently, I'm trying to look at the price tag here. Water will cost $360,000, and the overall cost for renovating town hall will be $4.2 million. So that's a special town meeting in Essex, Monday at 7:30 at the Essex Elementary School.
Rick, here's a story that I had heard some discussion on one day on a Boston radio station, and I don't think we've talked about this, but it's an AP story. It's out of Concord, New Hampshire. And a judge has denied a request from East Coast fishermen to stop the federal government's plan to hand them the cost of sea monitoring. That's at sea monitoring. Fishermen of New England food species such as cod and haddock will have to start paying the cost of at sea monitors March 1 under new rules. Monitors collect data to help determine future fishing quotas, and they can cost about $800 per day. Officials with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have said that money for the monitors in New England ground fisheries will be gone soon. The monitors are trained workers who collect data to help determine future quotas on certain species of commercial fish. Fishermen have spoken out for months against shifting the cost, saying it will sink many who are already dealing with the dwindling New England cod population and choking cuts to quotas. And if I can just read a little bit more, just skip ahead a little bit more. The challenge was the subject of a hearing at the U.S. District Court in Concord, New Hampshire last week, and Judge Joseph LaPlante denied the request Wednesday, saying that their action is barred under the law itself. So kind of a complicated issue here, but Rick, you might have some insight on this as well. But in the discussion that I heard a few weeks ago, it seems like an enormous burden is going to be put on fishermen, and as it notes in the story here, drive many of them out of business. And I mean, and then the discussion that I was hearing was, well, maybe that's the plan. In other words, that it's a way of limiting the fishing and the number of fish caught by driving the number of fishermen out of business.
That's been a hypothesis for a long time, and you know, it's got some grounds. I'll tell you, it's been devastating what the fishermen have gone through the last decade or so, and NOAA has not been responsive at all. And to me, it smacks of a movie I saw a long time ago, The Hunt for Red October, when the Soviets had a submarine, and on every Soviet vessel, they had a member of the Communist Party monitoring things. And this doesn't make any sense. You've got a member of the government on board your boat to monitor stuff, and you have to pay for it. Plus the fact Sean Horgan also wrote along the same lines of the story, said that this Judge LaPlante wrote that the plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction is denied and did not comment on the merits of the case. That was the end of it. So more to come, and it just doesn't, I'm not really versed in this, but it doesn't make any sense that this is being imposed on the fishing industry.
Yeah, interesting. Well, anyways, we'll see. And obviously, it's a big story for Gloucester and their fishing industry and other fishermen up and down the coast. And of course, New Hampshire has that sea coast as well. So we'll see. It's interesting. It was filed in New Hampshire. I guess maybe they said why, but it was filed in Concord, New Hampshire. So anything else happening up there, Richard, to share with us? There's one other story here in Lynn in the item that apparently 59 General Electric Riverworks engineers got their layoff notices and will be leaving. So despite the fact that General Electric's moving their corporate headquarters to Boston, the General Electric plants, in the greater Boston area are shrinking. Once were so many plants, the large Lynn plant, there was an Everett plant, I think there was one up in Wilmington, there were GE plants all around the North Shore. Well, a lot of folks doing a lot of things, and they have certainly shrunk over the years. So, again, those are just time, signs of the times, if you will, but it's just too bad to hear that news.
Yeah, most definitely. Nope, nothing going on. I just was curious to see that the anniversary of Challenger was mentioned yesterday in the news programs, but a very, very slight piece on I think it was on ABC that I saw, very short little piece on NPR radio. 30th anniversary of the Challenger disaster was yesterday. So onward and upward, I guess.
Oh, I got to. We got our videos here, and I'm blanking out on what one of them was, but one of them was the. I know what they are. We have a one. We've talked about the polls, and these polls are coming out on the presidential race, and they come out nationally. They come out state by state: Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, whatever. And so Seth Meyers from Late Night TV. Actually calls up and conducts his own poll. You'll see that there. It's a pretty good bit. Seth Meyers from his program. And, Rick, I don't know one of the, Donald Trump, whether you like him or hate him, what I tend to like is people impersonating him. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's comic fodder.
All right. So I went out searching for Donald Trump impersonator videos. Now, I'm not saying these are good or anything like that, but there's a bit here with somebody impersonating Donald Trump. So I just think that's the one thing that, again, he's brought that to the election, is that whenever somebody does a bit, whether it's Saturday Night Live or Jimmy Fallon or somebody else, where they impersonate Donald Trump, hey, thumbs up, pretty good usually, because there's some pretty good Donald Trump impersonators out there now. And anyway, so we have a video up on that. So we have a bit of somebody doing a feature on Donald Trump. So that's what we got.
Well, I did see one on Facebook. They had a side-by-side video of Trump and Mussolini. And I don't know if you've seen that, but the mannerisms are astoundingly similar and very funny. Or scary, depending on how you look at it.
No, I did not. I did not see that. And, we're coming full circle here, Rick, from what we started with. And I don't know what to make of the fact that the event is just kind of strange. You can't make up this election this year. Is that here at the Donald Trump event were Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum, two former winners of the Iowa caucuses, who didn't participate. They couldn't have participated, I guess. Oh, no, Santorum participated in the undercard debate. Whatever. So the undercard debate was on. Now I'm putting it all together now. I didn't watch that too much either. I watched about 10 minutes of it. But anyway, so they were with Trump last night at the event as well. It doesn't get stranger than this, I don't think.
It's reality TV, and I have to think that eventually this will all filter through and we'll have some kind of normal campaigning at some point. But the language this year, I mean, there's always been some tough language and mudslinging and that kind of stuff. But the fact that certain ethnic groups are being targeted this year, and the fact that people are being insulted left and right, deliberately by the candidates, it's a little weird to me.
All right. Let's take a quick break here. We've got Diana Finn coming up. She's the girls' basketball coach at Revere High School. And then we'll be back, check a little sports here with you on this Friday. And again, we've dodged another snowstorm, it looks like. And now we've got temperatures in the 40s and 50s for the next few days. This is MSO, NewsSports.com, and this is North Shore Today.
We are joined by Diana Finn, the girls' basketball coach at Revere High School. And, Diana, you guys are off to a great start this year, 12-1. And how's that all come together?
Just with teamwork, hard work. The girls were playing hard and playing smart, playing together. From the work they did in the off season to all of the work preseason through the, you know, all of our practices are, we push them to be at game speed and focusing in particular on our defense and our rebounding. So.
And you obviously have qualified for the state tournament.
Mm-hmm. We're excited to, you know, to extend our season into the postseason. We did that Friday night against Saugus. And, you know, now we're looking to just continue to work hard and to improve. We have some big games on our schedule with the league, you know, within the league with Danvers, Beverly, Classical, and English, and then also our non-league games against St. Mary's and then in the Spartan Classic against Bill Ricker and potentially Masco or Newton North.
Yeah, so I know, and we're looking forward to seeing you over at St. Mary's on that game. We're working on that piece for some live streaming video. But let me ask you now: you're going into the D1 tournament, right? When
mm-hmm.
you for postseason.
Yeah.
Who are the? I mean, I'm not. You know, look, you're not looking ahead. I get that piece to pass the next game against Danvers on Friday. But who are the top teams in D1? Or some of them?
Well, you know, definitely Bill Ricka, Woburn's playing a hell of a year. Lowell's always a good team. That conference that they all play, that Bill Ricka Andover conference, they're always tough teams. In my first year here, we went 16-4 and then played Lowell in the tournament, and I think we lost by 150 points. So even though they had a 10-10 record. So
yeah.
We know that once you get into the tournament, your record means absolutely nothing. It's just about how you prepare and how you defend in the tournament. So, you know, these girls now know that, I think. You know, I only have two kids on this team that weren't here last year through the second round. So, you know, we're looking forward to build on the experiences they've already had.
No, absolutely. Now, tell me about this year's team. Who are you, maybe start with your starters. Just kind of take me through some of those players for us.
Sure. So our seniors, our captains that you'll talk to in a few minutes, Natasha Icavello, Allie Hinojosa, there are two, three guards. Both really smart, aggressive defenders. Maritza Scott she plays kind of a swing player, 3-4 for us. She really sets the tone for us defensively. Our point guard, Adana Hector, you know, you can't ever overestimate the importance of a point guard. So she's really our, you know, our general on the court. Our two post players are junior Megan Gotham, center, and then sophomore center Valentina Pepik. Both of them have been playing really, really hard and playing well for us. Then we have sophomore Pamela Gonzalez. She was an all-star last year, along with Adana and Maritza. So she comes back playing a three guard for us. You know, those are really our people that have started, because I start a bunch of different lineups. So
yeah, absolutely. Now, if you were to look at the way your team is playing with the mm-hmm. players that you put out there at different times during the year, what are some things that you're pleased with, and then where are some things that you still want to grow?
Well, I mean, we certainly don't want to continue to give up any second chance opportunities. I always tell the girls, like, don't you wish that people would give us second chance opportunities? Don't you wish that someone would let, you know, us score that easily? So, you know, really focusing on not releasing to fast break before we actually have possession of the basketball. You know, working on our aggressive trapping defenses. You know, you always want your kids to be aggressive, but not kind of toe the line between aggression and, you know, sitting next to you with four fouls in the first half. So towing that line with a young team is when you know, you want them to be aggressive, but, you know, figuring that balance out. So
in my head, I'm trying to psychologically think your reasoning here, but I mean, how you're appealing to the girls about the rebounding piece, about, you know, but hey, they're not going to give us, wouldn't you like to get those second chances? So you always have to be positive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you?
Yeah. No doubt. We're, you know, we focus, especially with our size, we, you know, a lot of times our guards feel like, okay, we have 2 6-footers on the team, like, you guys get the rebounds and we'll run up court. You know, it's not quite like that when other teams have solid guards and they're crashing and they're forcing you to box out, or they'll score a second time or a third time or a fourth time. So really it's a team effort. And, you know, when it's obvious that we've bought into that, and when we play like a team on the defensive glass in particular, you know, it's a fun team to watch. So, to be a part of.
It's fun, you know, funny, Diane, I was watching some games. These last ones, I'm thinking, are boys' games. But I was kind of struck where how often the person that gets the rebound, so to speak, rebound, is nowhere near under the basket. You know what I'm saying? So often that is the case. You know, it's not always the you know, back when I played 100 years ago, it was just, it was a soft shot. It would go up. You'd have to be right underneath the basket to get it. But now they're right. Kicking out. They're grabbing it on the floor. It's way out. You never know where it's going to be coming from with the shots today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No doubt. You know, we, with our guards, with Pamela, she's a sophomore three, she's very aggressive under the boards and really has a nose for the basketball. So she comes up with a lot of our rebounds, along with Maritza, another really undersized forward that we have. She just gets under there and they really thrive on, and it really drives their game and the tempo of their individual game and gets them going. So,
well, yeah. Diana, anything else you want to share with us about Revere basketball? I mean, you've obviously done a great job since coming back to the school.
Well, thank you. No, they're you know, better people than they are players. So I feel fortunate to really have the opportunity to coach them all. So
they're better than 12-1 as people, you're saying?
Yeah, they're 13-0 as people.
Nice. All right, Diana. It's good talking with you, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Diana Finn, the girls' basketball coach at Revere High School, on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we do have a hockey broadcast, Bill, coming up tomorrow at 12:30 from Salem State. It will be Peabody against Marblehead. I thought it was for first place, but I was straightened out by Coach Leonard yesterday. Marblehead has a game in hand. They're 1 point up on Peabody. They seem to have an easier schedule after tomorrow's game, Saturday's game. So it doesn't look like Peabody catch Marblehead for first place. But the fact is that the 1-1 tie between the Tanners and the Headers a couple of weeks ago is the only blemish on Marblehead's record. So you know that they want to correct that. On the other hand, Peabody wants to pull out a win. Now, I did talk to both Coach Leonard and the Peabody captains yesterday on Thursday at the Peabody rink before practice. The captains, very articulate young men, very gentlemanly off the ice, very tough kids and good skaters on the ice, and Coach Leonard is very proud to work with these kids. That video is up on the website along with an interview with Coach Leonard. But 12:30 Saturday, live from Salem State, it will be Peabody at Marblehead, Division II high school hockey, and it's the Northeastern North Conference.
And that should be a great game because, like we've kind of been noting in our posts, a lot of the teams now are they're gearing up for postseason. That's what it's all about now. Obviously, conference honors mean a lot. But if those are already decided, then it's on to postseason and preparing for the postseason the best as possible. And so this looks like a great game on Saturday. We've also had some recent posts up there, met some interesting, great students from Revere basketball, Beverly Gymnastics, St. Mary's girls basketball. And those teams have some big games coming down the stretch. And I believe we have a very big week of North Shore basketball next week and so on. And we'll be telling you more about that in the days ahead. So hang in there with us. All right. And no Patriots this weekend. No Patriots. And no Tom Brady's not going to the Pro Bowl with Gronk, I guess. So there we go. But and it was just a year ago we were battling Deflategate and a lot of snow. So I guess this is a better year in a way, right? This is a much better year. All right. So
yeah, in a sense, most definitely. You got to look at the bright side. And they'll be back. Coach Belichick's already out there scouting. So you know, on to next year.
All right, that'll do it for us. So thanks so much for being with us. Follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports. Also, email us. Email address is posted at msonewsports@gmail.com. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. North Shore Today on msonewsports.com.